John, Laurel, you know what I like about this podcast? We take this really heavy state government news and we try to lighten it up a little bit, talk about it in a serious way, but have fun.
Yeah, we try to make things that are a little bit intense or complicated just a little bit more approachable.
But sometimes you can't really do that.
This seems to be one of those times.
Yeah, because the biggest story in state politics this week was about gun policy and proposals in response to gun violence across the country.
So let's just talk about it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, the gun debate comes back to Wisconsin. Yeah, so I guess to start things off, I mean, stepping back, this is an issue that never really goes away, but it tends to resurface in the news every time there's, you know, a horrific event like what went on a couple of weeks ago in Texas and in Ohio. And the way it sort of filters down into state politics is that, you know, politicians are asked about it. And then, you know, policymakers also try and come up with ways to prevent things like this from happening in the future. But it's a very complex and very fraught issue.
Yes, it is. So I guess when it becomes a more local story is just how it's responded to.
Yeah.
I mean, and in this case, I think we're probably talking about it because the governor now, Governor Tony Evers, mm-hmm. came out and kind of he put down a marker. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't just saying, I support universal background checks. He came out, had a big press conference and said, I, the governor, am using my bully pulpit to talk about this issue and put pressure on lawmakers to take a stand on this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, that's sort of the news peg this week, is that there was actually legislation that he and Democratic lawmakers presented saying we would like to adopt universal background checks in Wisconsin.
I think what should be noted about that, though, is this isn't a new proposal in the Wisconsin legislature. This is something that Democratic lawmakers have been pushing for years. It's something that Democratic lawmakers tried to push during that special session that I mentioned that Governor Walker called on guns when he was still in office. So this isn't a new bill, but it's kind of a new conversation now that the political framework of Wisconsin has shifted a little bit now that we have a Democratic governor and he can use his bully pulpit to call a big press conference and have a bunch of lawmakers and the lieutenant governor and the Democratic attorney general kind of all standing up and saying, this is something that, you know, the executive branch wants to see happen in Wisconsin.
What exactly did he say during his press conference?
So essentially, he said that lawmakers have gone too long without doing something. He sort of accused lawmakers of dragging their feet on the issue. He said it's time to stop waiting for permission from the NRA. He said that lawmakers, in kind of in his very characteristic way for Governor Evers, said, you know, basically all we've done so far, leaders have done so far, is say, geez, I'm really sorry when these events happen, and not really put policy behind it. He also did, as Sean mentioned, called on every legislator in Wisconsin to have a public position on this universal background check proposal, which is something that we haven't necessarily had, you know, on a lawmaker-to-lawmaker basis anyway.
So what exactly is he calling for? It would be another thing I maybe should step back to. Mm-hmm. When he's talking about universal background checks, what does that mean in this Wisconsin bill?
So basically right now, if you buy a gun at a gun show or online in Wisconsin, you don't have to pass a background check. So this proposal would expand background checks to those two venues, I guess you could call them. There would be a couple exceptions under the universal background check bill. One is if you get a gun through inheritance, or if it's a gift given between family members, or if it is an antique weapon as classified by the federal government. So there are a couple exceptions, but for the most part, pretty much any gun sale in the state of Wisconsin would be subject to a background check if this were to be approved.
And because none of these issues like exist in a bubble, there's a political element to this. this is a popular proposal. We know this. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Marquette University polling on this puts it, you know, in 80% or so.
Yeah. So you say popular, you mean like publicly popular.
Publicly right? popular. Yeah. I'm not talking about the legislature or how it's viewed here. I'm saying if you ask the public in a poll without going into, you know, the minutiae of the proposal, do you support universal background checks? Yeah, people support it, Republicans and Democrats, although Democrats support it more strongly. When you're talking about an 80% issue, that is a pretty strongly supported issue.
So why then, if we have an issue that 80% of people, according to the Marquette poll, support, why is it, you know, not moving forward in the legislature then?
I guess this is a question that I've always kind of wondered about when it comes to bills like this, because I remember President Obama at some point in his tenure after another tragedy said that Democrats need to be kind of on the offensive when it comes to gun bills, that they should put the pressure on the other party mm-hmm. to take a stand on this stuff. And I can't say that they ever really, really did that, that they Democrats on a national level. And I haven't seen it at a state level when you see campaigns play out. Mm-hmm. I've never seen in Wisconsin Democrats make that a front and center issue. Wasn't a front and center issue in Governor Evers' successful election bid in November. Mm-hmm. And then if you get down into races for the legislature, in places where Democrats need to make up ground, I mean, they need to win some more rural seats if they want to have any hopes of a majority in the Wisconsin legislature. That is not the issue that they want to be, you know, arguing over. Mm-hmm. I mean, guns are valued among certain Wisconsin voters. And when the gun issue becomes front and center, it can tip elections in a way that you maybe don't expect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really not one of those sort of like kitchen table issues. Like, we obviously know that the governor campaigned on schools, healthcare, roads. Guns weren't a part of that. And, you know, it's not necessarily something that gets people to the polls, or at least it hasn't in the past. I wonder if that's going to change as it becomes a little bit more of a, I think there's more of a grassroots effort around guns than there has been in the past in terms of engagement and conversations about gun proposals. But I think there is a feeling by some lawmakers that a vote that they take on guns isn't as important to their constituents as maybe one that they take on taxes or schools or healthcare.
So, I mean, realistically, even while there seems to be, you know, overall support in the public, this is basically a partisan issue. And the governor has come out and said, we need to do X, Y, and Z, universal background checks, some other things that he's mentioned, saying we need to do this to help prevent gun violence. What has been the response from Republicans here, who often are the party of advocating for, you know, gun rights?
Mm-hmm. So Republican leaders have said that they think the universal background check proposal violates Second Amendment rights because, so if you buy a weapon at a gun show or through an online sale, you have to go through a process of then registering that gun. And opponents to the universal background check proposal say, you know, having to register that gun if you buy it through these venues is a violation of individuals' rights, that gun rights groups are opposed to doing that. So that's something certainly that Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald brought up when we asked him about that earlier this week. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has also said, you know, I'm not going to do anything that infringes on individuals' Second Amendment rights. We did get a comment as well from the Assembly Majority Leader, Jim Steinecke, this week, and he brought up kind of another point that I feel like wasn't as prominent, certainly from Senator Fitzgerald. I think Speaker Voss has touched on this a little bit, but I think Representative Steinecke was more pointed. He said in a statement released yesterday after the governor rolled out this proposal that it's really misleading to say that universal background checks are going to prevent mass shootings. He says it's kind of disingenuous for the governor to be pushing that message because he doesn't think that, you know, putting this proposal into place is going to put up the barrier that some people say it would to mass shootings. So I think that's kind of part of the conversation. Steinecke says that, or he said in this statement, that lawmakers should focus more on doing things related to mental health So I think that's going to be kind of part of the conversation going forward.
So this is the most recent sort of resurfacing of the gun debate and gun policy issues in Wisconsin, but it's definitely not the first time this has come up, either in the wake of, you know, a mass shooting incident, or in general. The legislature has handled, you know, firearm-related issues a lot. Sean, you've been here covering these things the longest. I mean, can you talk a little bit about how this compares to other instances where gun policy has come up?
Yeah, Governor Walker in 2018 called a special session but he approached this issue from, in a different direction. He proposed and ultimately signed into law a school safety grant program. And so that was an area where, you know, he was willing to, approach this issue.
Because that was in the wake of the school shooting specifically in Parkland, Florida, right?
Right. And this was at a time when in Wisconsin and elsewhere, you had high school students organizing, demonstrating at the Capitol, speaking at press conferences. There was a real, outpouring from students who were very pro-gun control, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was an area where Walker and Republicans, actually lawmakers from both parties, were willing to respond. Let's put more into school safety. I was just looking back at our, the initial story that we did that day, and it was, it noted that that package did not call for background checks. So this has been an issue that, I mean, it always comes up when we talk about gun issues, this background checks issue, because by polling anyway, it is a popular idea.
Mm-hmm. And I think Democrats sort of want to force Republicans to take a public opinion on this, every Republican to take a public opinion on this, because it is so popular with voters, according to polls. And I think it was when lawmakers were on the floor for that special session that Governor Walker called that there was some drama. I know we talked about this on the podcast, where there was some procedural stuff with a substitute amendment and kind of moves on the floor to sub in the universal background check.
Mm-hmm.
Proposal by Democrats. They tried to get it up for a vote, and then there was a little bit of a delay, and then Republicans swapped in some different language that was entirely, obviously entirely different.
While we're talking about Governor Walker calling a special session, one thing that kind of caught my attention this week, or didn't, I was, when I saw that Governor Evers was going to make an announcement about, you know, gun laws.
You thought he was going to call a special session.
I mean, I didn't know. I thought there was a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's something he's talked about.
It is. He had recently talked about it. And so that's one way, if you really want to force people's hands,
mm-hmm.
you as the governor can say, we're doing this special session. Mm-hmm. It's on you now. But he didn't take that step.
Well, and he can't control what they take up.
No, they can ignore a special session, basically. But it is sort of an added oomph. If you're the governor, you have that power to call them into special session. He didn't do that.
So when you say ignore, they don't have to convene?
They can kind of convene in name only. Say, we convene the special session, we adjourn the special session, that type of stuff.
Okay.
There's only so much that a governor can do. Can't force him really to vote.
I sort of thought if the special session was called and that Republicans would come to the floor and maybe advance some of the proposals, like the mental health initiatives that Representative Steinicke mentioned, or maybe more in kind of the vein of school safety, like they did last time, doing more for that. That's something Senator Fitzgerald has mentioned, maybe putting more money into protecting what people call soft targets, like schools.
You know, they may well, I mean, they would probably have an answer to this issue, or, you know, if the debate was forced, I'm sure they have a position. I just don't know what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe to go back a little bit further, even beyond the school safety session, do you feel like it's fair to say that in the last several years, especially under Republican control of the legislature, that the trend has been towards more freedom in terms of gun policy regulations?
Yes.
I mean, sort of trending that way, less restrictions, fewer restrictions?
100%, yeah. I mean, I think if you look back over the last couple decades, there has been more access to firearms granted, not, you know, not less.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about some of the bills that we've covered, like the Republicans, this was in 2015, is that Republicans, when they controlled the legislature and Governor Walker was governor, ended the state's 48-hour waiting period for handgun purchases.
Mm-hmm.
Other bills that have come up in the legislature that have added access to guns or like increased gun rights. The Castle Doctrine Law, which is a big one. You know, if somebody comes on your property, it changes sort of it gives the homeowner the benefit of the doubt if the homeowner were to shoot somebody who is trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
It just changes that presumption of who was in the right, basically. It gives the homeowners more rights to do that to if the person is intruding on their property. And then a big one that happened was that the state, Wisconsin, joined other states in becoming a concealed carry state. So you didn't used to be able to carry a concealed handgun in Wisconsin. You can now. But again, that's like another example of more gun rights, not fewer.
Concealed carry happened pretty shortly after Governor Walker came into office. I think it was 2011.
Yeah. And one of those kind of pent up issues where Jim Doyle, Democratic governor, had vetoed it a couple times. And mm-hmm. So then when Republicans came into power, they're like, let's do this. We're ready to pass this.
I mean, that's one of the marquee issues for the gun community, I think, concealed carry. And we've seen in recent years in the Capitol, now that Wisconsin has concealed carry, there's been a push for what's called constitutional carry, which obviously hasn't passed. But essentially what that would do is it takes away the licensing requirement that's involved with concealed carry. So to have a concealed carry license in Wisconsin, you have to pass a class, you know, do some requisite training. Constitutional carry, you wouldn't have to meet those requirements to be able to carry a weapon.
So going back to, say, what Governor Evers and Democratic lawmakers are calling for here in the universal background check issue, do you feel like there's, now that there's a Democratic governor, there's a possibility that the trend could start shifting the other way?
I guess I would be surprised if they passed any major gun laws one way or the other mm-hmm. with divided government, because I just don't see them coming together on much.
Yeah.
I know there's always talk when this issue comes up of we need to find a bipartisan compromise, and maybe they will. But I know it's weird to say this in August, but there's not that much time when they're still going to be on the floor for this legislative session with campaigns next year. I mean, there's enough time for them to do something if they wanted to. But I'm on an issue like this, you know, you're talking about they're going to want to wrap up in like February or something, and then it's campaign season. So, given how I guess little they've agreed on when it comes to mm-hmm. big issues like this, thorny issues like this,
There's such a huge gulf between them, I think, on the things that Democrats are really pushing for, the universal background checks and the red flag law. It almost seems like something akin to like the Medicaid expansion. You know, it's like Republican leaders are just saying like, no way, no way, this is not happening. So it's hard to imagine any coming together on that. I think it is important to mention, before we would wrap up any conversation about gun proposals, is that people that are following this issue on a national level, I'm sure, are familiar with talk about, you know, an assault weapons ban or bump stock bans, things like that. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald was asked about that earlier this week. You know, do you think that that's a proposal that could go forward in Wisconsin? And basically what he said about that was that's something that needs to be resolved on a federal level. And then once that happens, if it happens, then states can kind of decide what they do with that, what they can do with that on a state-by-state basis. But he essentially sort of eschewed the conversation of that happening here.
Good word, Laurel.
I know. I just, that English major really comes through sometimes.
Wait, is it not eschewed?
It's definitely eschewed.
It's eschewed.
All right, maybe I'm just, yeah.
See, you weren't an English major.
No.
What did you major in?
History.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I majored in journalism.
And what are you doing with it now, Sean?
I don't know.
Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
To get new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast delivered to you almost every single week, all you have to do is subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. You can also find it on Google Play and on Stitcher, as well as many other podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime you want at wpr.org/politics. ¶¶